On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cutting sheet Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the program that it is, the Ron Van Dam Show. That's my name is in it. Thanks for coming. Did you bring me a gift? A bottle of wine? What the hell's wrong with you? It is the holiday season. Did you bring me a bike? I want a little tricycle. Where's my tricycle? I want to unwrap something. Just give me something that's wrapped so I can unwrap it. That's all I ask. It's not the gift. It's the journey to the gift. It's the unwrapping. That's all I want. For those of you that don't listen to the program very often, let me refresh your memory. Hi, my name is Ron. Here are some of the people that make the show possible. First is a lovely and talented John Shanahan, comedy writer, broadcaster himself, a lovely voice, a lovely man. He does the opening announcements, much of the comedy commercials, you name it. He's a gem. Not Jim. He's not Jim. He's a gem. Then there's, oh my gosh, there's Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She produces many of the segments on this program interview-wise. Thank you, Nicole. Nice of you to do that. Then there's Jason Shaw. You're listening to his music in the background. This is our theme music. He does our closing theme. And Jason is a good man to let us do that. So thank you, Jason Shaw. And then there's me. I just show up for the hell of it. Actually, I show up for the halibut, which is a wonderful fish with a little bit of hollandaise sauce and a couple of ripe olives to garnish the top with some parsley. You got yourself a nice little meal. All right, that's enough, my God. How do I get your attention to listen to the entire program? This show is about 17 hours long. Actually, it's half an hour. I've whittled it down to a half hour. It was originally 17 hours, now it's half an hour. The only thing I can do to get your attention, and it always works, is to hold up a cute little puppy dog. Aww. Come on, you got it. You cannot deny holding up a cute little puppy dog is...
Aww.
That's right. And my goodness, I mean, You can hold up all the loving little puppy dogs you want, but if you hold up a puppy dog that looks sick and Melissa Manchester is singing a sad song in the background, no, you don't want that. Do not want that. Get her out of here. Yeah, no kidding. All right, there are various rules and regulations to listening to this program. You have to sign documents in order to agree that listening to this program could be hazardous to your health, but if you sign the following documents, I am not responsible for your mental health as a result of listening to the program. So please sign here and sign here. All right, now here. Sign this. And now sign this. Initial here. Initial here. Initial here. Not there. Not there. Here. Sign here. Read the clause. Make sure you read the entire clause. There's the second part. Then the third part. The section is Article 17, Chapter 3. Shall not ensue. Not pursue. Not sue. And sue. Now that's here. And sign. And initial. And sign. Draw a picture of a house. That's a hell of a house you drew. Crinkle the CVS receipt to make believe it's a document. And there you have it. Thank you very much. You have signed your life away, my friends. Well, God. All right, look, here's the deal. Thanks for being here. The holidays are upon us. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I still don't have the Christmas spirit living within me, nor the Hanukkah spirit living within me, nor the Kwanzaa spirit living within me, and all of the other spirits that may be around Buddha Day. I'm not really sure what the others are, but they all come around the same time of the year. Even Jesus got the timing wrong. He wasn't born on Christmas Day. That's not true. So this is kind of a little bit of a weird deal going on here as soon as you realize that. But then you realize that history throughout our history has been falsified in order to make it grandiose and acceptable. So people will spend money on the day. It's the way it is, man. Just look, when I was a kid, remember when I was a kid? No, you don't. Remember when you were a kid and your eyes opened so wide before you had the glaucoma? Remember that? You were so innocent. When you were listening to something, your eyes would open wide, your mouth would drop, saliva would drip down your chin. Remember that? We were so in wonderment. We were, our faces were so pure. We had no wrinkles in our faces whatsoever. No. As children, our skin was so smooth. Didn't need any collagen products back then. We were so fluffy and innocent. And everything was a wonderment. And everything was wonderful. On a day in the winter, Santa Claus would come down the chimney. Even if you didn't have a chimney, he would still come down it. Never figured that out, but it was true. He would leave presents. You would leave cookies and milk. By the way, don't drink that milk in the morning. It's sour by then. But he'd leave you presents. Yeah, your hard-working parents who would work 20 hours a day just to have enough money to buy you these presents, those people didn't get the credit. A fat man in a furry red suit got all the credit. Oh, look what Santa got me. Santa? I work 20 hours a day, and you're saying thank you to Santa? Ugh, I gotta put up with this crap. because that's the story, that's the fable, we all have to go along with it. It's insulting to the parent, by the way. You know, you go to the store and you're buying this like $200 toy, and you're realizing, well, this is from Santa. I don't see Santa here anywhere taking his wallet out. I'm the one paying for this. But Santa gets all the credit. Oh, if it shuts up the kids for a couple of hours, I guess it's worth it. Is this difficult to hear? If it is, sign here. And this should go here. I already did that bit. Let's not milk it. I milk these bits like a cow, ladies and gentlemen. Like a cow with 20 udders. I work 20 udders a day in order to pay for this toy. Anyway, yeah, that's Christmas, man. And a child's eyes light up with this fantasy. Oh, I'm sorry. Are there children in the room? I don't want to spoil it for the spoiler alert. Get your kids out of the room right now, please. I should have said that before. Well, you signed the papers, so you can't hold me. Kids, I'm only kidding. Santa is real. All right, now get him out. We do it for Easter, too. Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? We convince the little children, this is how gullible they are. We convince them, first of all, that you're actually their parents. And secondly, you convince them that during Easter, another religious holiday that, you know, nothing, rabbits and bunnies are laying chocolate eggs all over the place. What? What do they eat? Ex-lax? What? How? Chocolate eggs? Yes. Chocolate eggs. And you have to find them. Go find the eggs. They're in the refrigerator, aren't they? Yeah, but they're not colored. Oh, are you supposed to say that? A strange holiday. Easter baskets. I don't get it either. I don't understand that whole holiday. I don't get it. I know it's religious, but no, we made sure by inventing the bunnies that it wasn't as religious as it originally was. So we got Christmas and Easter with these strange fables in them. Now, here's the odd thing. We went even further than that. If your child loses a tooth, a children's tooth, and if they put that tooth under their pillow in the middle of the night while they're sleeping, some strange lady dressed in a fairy costume with a magical wand will come into your room, not through the chimney, just somehow gets in there, I think through the air duct, and she will go under your pillow while you're sleeping. It's not easy to do. You won't wake up. And she will remove the tooth from under the pillow. Ew. And she will replace it with some cash or a Venmo receipt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is how we make the losing the tooth thing, which is a very scary thing. I remember losing my first tooth. It just hung there. I don't even know what that thing was. It a rope? It was hanging in my mouth. It was an awful feeling, and it hurt. But we make up these stories so that that won't bother you so much because the fairy's going to show up. We invented that story too. We invented a lot of stories. Unfortunately, with Halloween, which is the worst, Halloween's horrible for children. I mean, children love it because of the candy, but it's like scary. Like your head will come off. People are bludgeoned to death. This is great holiday for the kids. Great holiday for the kids. Good lesson. Then kids get, oh, the boogeyman is under my bed. All right. I don't understand what a boogeyman is, first of all. I guess it's some kind of creature with some kind of nasal problem. Oh, that's Booger Man. Sorry. Booger Man. Boogie. I don't know the difference between a booger and a boogie. uh scares the hell out of the children. They won't go to bed at night. Shadows bother them. You know, it's just got to put up with a lot when you're a kid. But here's my point to all of this that's been going on for at least 15 minutes now. The point is that when you're a child, you're just wide-eyed and innocent and wonderful. You don't have to go to the store to buy anything. Things are bought for you. You don't have to go to the supermarket to get your next meal. It's provided for you, in most cases, of course. Either the parents do or the government. You don't have to worry about politics. You don't have to drive. You don't have to worry about the hangover the next morning. You don't have to pay the rent. You don't have to pay the mortgage. You don't have to pay the electric bill. You don't have to worry. You don't have to set up deliveries. You don't have to pay any taxes. It is a very simple, leisurely life. So we get spoiled as children thinking, okay, this is cool. I can just play with my toys all day and now I've discovered my penis and I can do that for a couple of minutes every day. You know, it's just a wonderful life. Good name for a movie. Ooh, I'm going to have to make a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a catchy title. All right. Anyway, Yeah. And then you get a little bit older and you get excited because, all right, now I can drink. Now I can drive. Now I don't have to go to school anymore if I don't want to. If I do, it's my choice. I don't have to go to a prison school anymore. And you get even wider-eyed because, oh, you can do this stuff now. You can go to strip clubs, all those kinds of things. I don't have to wait for someone to get me a toy. I can go to the store and get my own toy because you get a job and that's exciting too. But then once you get a job and you get married or even if you stay single and date, all of a sudden things start shifting rather quickly. This demon called responsibility comes through the door and consumes your body and your soul. And all of a sudden, everything has a consequence, everything costs money, everything's a problem. Well, that's not the way they brought me up. I know. This has become a gigantic problem now. But it's life, man. Now you're concerned about the government and how things are run and what they're doing in other countries and you're concerned about the supply chain. What? I don't even know what that is. I mean, it's now everything's a problem. Everything's a problem. Everything's a concern. So childhood and adulthood are very, very different. Very different. Do we prepare a child for adulthood? No, because we don't want to bother them. Leave the kids alone. They're children. Just let them play. Let them go play with their friends. And don't give them any stress as a child. Wait until they're adults and then slam them with it. It's all attitude, man. It's all attitude. It's all your tude. It's all, I don't say attitude anymore. I just say tude because I am cool. By the way, if you want to sound cool, just don't say the whole word. That's all. Yeah, hey, you got a tude. Ooh, you're cool. You're cool to say that. Want some guacamole? We're going to take some avocados. We're going to make some guacamole. And then you go to a restaurant, and you know, a Mexican restaurant, and they say, would you like an appetizer? Yeah, I'll have the guac. Whoa, guac. You're not saying amole after that. You're just saying guac because I'm cool. And the waiter knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. I want guac. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to say amole. No. Amole, you don't do that anymore. I got a tude about guac. Ooh. That's how you sound cool. Also, you put a little bit of a swag in your in your voice, in your tempo in your voice. For example, I'm going to go to the concert tonight. No, that's not cool. Here's how you say it. I'm going to go to a concert tonight. That's cool. You see. I am giving you the education that you never had as a child is what I'm doing with this show. Not that I know everything, although I was this close. You can't see, it's radio. I have my two fingers like really close together. I was this close to becoming the Pope. I know I talk about this a lot. I could taste it. I could taste the Pope. That sounded wrong. I could taste it. I've got all the qualifications to being the Pope. They know it. I sent him the resume with my headshot. In my headshot to become the Pope that I sent to the Vatican, I'm even wearing one of those hats. And I wore a robe. I tried to look as best I could. I don't have Pope clothes. As close as I could get to looking like the Pope. Sent the headshot, the resume. Did I hear back from them? No. Did I get a letter saying, we received your resume to be Pope, we'll let you know? Nothing, nothing, nothing. I look out the window all day to see if there's any smoke signals coming through the sky there. You know, like maybe there's a forest fire or something, or maybe there's an opening for the Pope. That's how you know. Not a word. But yet, spiritually, I came this close to being the Pope. Oh, yeah. You know why? I can pontificate. Mm-hmm. Sounds sexual, doesn't it? Don't go in the little room. Don't go in the room. No, no. Johnny is pontificating in there. Don't go in. Oh, okay. Oh, boy, I hope he showers. By the way, it's not pontificating anymore. It's just pont. Yeah, because I'm cool. Yeah, I'm not the Pope. I don't want that responsibility anyway. You know, I've reached a point in my life where I've always aspired to be things. Sometimes it worked. Usually it didn't. But I aspired. I had visions, you know, of the Grim Reaper showing up down the chimney. No, I had visions. I had goals. Goal! I had goals. I had more goals than a World Cup soccer match. I had goals. But now that I'm a little bit older, fuck it. You know, I don't want the goals anymore. That's a lot of work. Goals, that's a lot of work. Aspirations, that takes a lot of time. You know what? If you called me now or if you smoked me and said there's an opening for the Pope, Ron, we're going to take your application. You can be the Pope. I'd say, you know what? I've thought about it. No, thank you. Not interested anymore. Not interested. Sorry. You had your opportunity, but I'm not interested in being the Pope anymore. Yeah, I've just lost my drive. But happily lost it. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Do you know, now when I get out of bed, I look at the door to the bedroom and my first reaction is, that's a long way off. I got to get out of bed. I got to stand on my feet. I have to walk over to the door. Whoa, that's about all I want to do today. That's a lot. That's a lot of walking. I do have a dog whom I love. It's a little bit scary how much in love I am with my dog. It's a good thing, but it's also very, very, very scary. Yeah, love is a love is a lot. Love is a lot of work. It's natural. It's there, but at the same time, it's to care for somebody else. Whoa, that's out of the realm. I barely care for myself yet but I pull it off. I pull it off. And now I protect my dog a lot because my dog can't talk. My dog can do three things really, really well. Play, eat, and go to the bathroom. She's got that down really well. I don't know. I just, so I protect her. I have to feed her. She can't get her own food for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, I do. I am in love with my dog. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of the program, so at this point, you might want to start packing up. Yeah, I know a lot of you walk around with your water bottles all day. I'm getting a little sick of that. I mean, you do what you want. It just looks really funny for most of you to walk around with either your little plastic water bottles or your thermos things. I don't know what those things are called. Those things that hold water and it keeps it cold all day or something. It's like people are walking around with battery packs. I can't go there. Where's my water bottle? I can't go without my water bottle. You know, we are, as a society, we're really bogged. We've bogged ourselves down. When we wanted to go somewhere, we would just go. Now it's, where's my water? Where's my water bottle? I can't go without my water bottle. Where's my cell phone? I can't go without my cell phone. Where's my cell phone? No, wait a minute. Let me just find my cell phone. I can't go without my cell phone. My water bottle, my cell phone. And that's just the beginning. We have bogged ourselves down. We are boggers. Can't go anywhere without that stuff. Want to go for a walk, just like around the neighborhood? Sure, but wait a minute. I got to get my water bottle. I got to get my cell phone. I got to pack a suitcase and overnight. Where's dog? I gotta get the poopy bag for the dog. This is just too much. This is weighing me down. It's like going for a walk is like preparing for like airport security or something. It's like, wow, we have bogged ourselves down. We talk about this all the time. We'll talk about it again because it's under the same category. Can't go through the day without my coffee. Where's my coffee? I need some coffee. Can we stop off and get some coffee? I can't exist without my coffee. Sorry, I murdered that person, but I was tired. I didn't have my coffee yet. Okay. Then murder is acceptable. If you didn't have your coffee, you didn't know what you were doing. I get it. We can't even put you on trial because the jury would say, well, the guy didn't have his coffee. I mean, you know, what do you expect? Boy, we bog ourselves down with this stuff. Can't exist without my coffee. I think you can. I don't think you want to. I need a stimulant. These are young adults who need these stimulants throughout the day. Coffee, their little power drinks, you know, the power drinks. I don't know what's, you know, we're drugged up on everything. We're even drugged up on water. I don't know how much water we need to have. Anyway, see, I was pontificating. That's called pontificating. P-O-N-T. Pont. All right, we're coming to the end of the program.
Thank God, Ron. Thank God. This is getting crazy. I know. That.
By the way, that's my voice when I'm imitating you.
Oh, Ron.
That's what you sound like to me. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, Ron?
That's what you sound like to me. I know. It's not flattering. It's not meant to be. It's what you sound like to me. Maybe I have some type of an earlobe problem. I really don't know. But that's what you sound like to me. All right. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. That's not a promise. That's a threat. So please join me then. Who knows where the show is going to go at that point? Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace.